Let's turn to Genesis chapter 18. Let's unite together in a word of prayer, please. Our loving God and our Father, as we come to Thee, we do thank Thee for the wonderful love of our most blessed Saviour. And our God, we thank Thee for that day most wonderful when we shall see Thee as Thou art. O God, we think of that day when we'll see Thee face to face and sing the story, saved by grace. Lord, we pray that we might rejoice in that today, and that our hearts might be brought into Thy most loving presence. Bless our hearts and be with us as we consider Thy word. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. It's high noon on the plains of Mamre. It was the time of day in eastern lands when any sensible person would take their afternoon siesta. And we read about Abram here in the doorway of his tent, enjoying what breeze there might be blowing across the plain. And he sees three men approaching. The abrupt manner in which they are introduced in the narrative here would suggest that one moment there was nobody there, and the next there seemed to have appeared these three men from nowhere. Perhaps Abram wondered what three men were doing out there in the midst of the heat of the noonday sun. And they approached, and Abram was willing to bring them in and to treat them well. In verse 2, we read of Abram that he lift up his eyes and looked, and he saw the three men, and then it says, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself down toward the ground. Now, he didn't bow before them in any religious way here. At the time, he did not know who it was, that it was the angel of the Lord himself coming down to meet them. But he ordered some water to wash their feet, and he bade them rest under the shadow of the tree and eat some bread. And thereby, Abraham entertained angels unawares. But indeed, it was the Lord who had come to meet Abraham. And the angel of the Lord here is a theophany. In other words, it is an Old Testament manifestation of the Lord here in flesh. And the Lord had come down to meet Abraham, and there were a number of messages that the Lord had brought. The first message was a message of blessing. It was the message that Abraham would have a son, and that from that son there would be blessings flowing to the nations of the earth. Now that was something that Abraham longed for. That was something that Abraham wanted to hear, because for a long time he had longed for a son. Now the son was to be given. Abraham and Sarah were by this time very old, and they had long passed the years of childbearing, and the thing was humanly impossible. But God said, what is impossible with men, I can do. And thank God we have a God who does the impossible. But then we read that the Lord had another message. This time it was a message of condemnation. A message of condemnation against the cities of the plain. These cities who had despised God and had rejected God, these places which were filled with the vilest of sin, and God was going to destroy these cities. The stench of their iniquity had arisen to God in heaven, and God had come down, as it were, to administrate the justice of the Lord upon these cities. But we read that God enters into a kind of debate about to himself as to whether he would let Abraham into the secret of what he was going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. And we read how he asks himself in verse 17, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? And he begins to wonder whether he is worthy, Abraham, of entering into the secrets of God, whether God can trust Abraham with a confidence. And we read that God says that he will give Abraham an insight into these things. And in the preceding verses, he gives us the reasons why he will give Abraham an insight. Look at verse 18 and verse 19. Seeing that Abram shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abram that which he hath spoken of him. And as God debated about whether he would let Abraham into his secrets, one of the great reasons why God said that Abraham was worthy of knowing his secrets is because he had a well-ordered home. He said he commands his children and his household after him. And men and women, if that is the reason why God would give Abraham his secrets, and if God was going to bless Abraham because he had a well-ordered home, isn't it something that we should be concerned about? Isn't it something that we should be looking into to make sure that our homes are homes that when God comes down and looks at them, are homes in which God will be well pleased? Because we live in a day in which the family is being mightily attacked. There is a campaign to undermine the family. They're trying to introduce all sorts of definitions of the family, which is apart from the ordinary family unit that we have today. And there is an attempt to undermine and devalue the family within our society. But we need homes which are firm. We need homes which are secure. And we need homes, most of all, in which God's name is exalted and glorified. So therefore, for a few minutes today, what I want to do is look at Abraham's home. And I want us to look at the things that God was well pleased with when he looked at this home and found it to be a well-ordered home. The first thing I want you to see as we look at Abraham here is the principle of a well-ordered home. We see here that there is such a thing as a home that God delights in. We have a home here in which God is with which God is pleased. And as we look at this well-ordered home, I want you to see that there are principles here behind this order that God delights in. The first thing that is obvious here is that it is a home in which fathers are able to direct their families and in which God is honoured and glorified. And that is something that runs through the Scriptures. Not only do we find it here about Abraham, but time and time again we read of those times when God commands his people to look after their families, to safeguard their families, to teach their families, to bring their families up in the fear and nurture and admonition of the Lord. Turn over with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And if you look at there at verses 4 to 6, you read the words of the Lord here, which are often read at dedication services and sometimes at baptism services. Look at what it says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And verse 7 says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And you notice the Lord's vision for a godly family, a well-ordered family, is one in which God is at the center. Now you notice what is said first about that home. It is one in which the parents are those that fear the Lord. They love the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind. And that says to me, first of all, that you need saved parents. You can't have a well-ordered home in the biblical sense unless you have parents that know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. God cannot look upon a home in which there is rebellion against him, in which there are people who do not respect him, who have turned against his son. God is not well pleased with a home like that, to say the least. In fact, God, as he looks upon a home like that, it turns away from a home like that. And parents, those of you that have children, if you want your children to grow up to be those who are those that God looks upon and is well pleased with, then you need first of all to love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. There's little point in telling your children what they should do if you don't do it yourself. There's little point in telling your children that they should go to Sunday school and they should hear God's word and they should do what the Sunday school teacher says unless you are obeying what the word of God says. For children will look at you and children will know hypocrisy a mile off. They are very good at detecting hypocrisy. And so first of all, men and women, those of you that are parents, the first thing that you need is the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But even those of you that do know the Lord as your Savior, do you love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind? Is the Lord the very center of your home? Do you love the Lord with such a strong love? You see, men and women, our families are to be a place in which God is present with us. The Lord is to be there in the very center of our homes. Do you in your home hold communion with God? Do you in your home worship the Lord? Is that a place where Christ is loved? For if you love the Lord, you'll want to be with Him. You'll want to hold communion. You always want to be with the people that you love. And so do your children when they come upon you. Do they find you at times holding communion with the Lord? Do they find you at times seeking the Lord? Do they know that they have a mother or father who gets down on their knees at night or in the morning and pray for them? Because we need praying mothers and praying fathers in this day in which we live. But then the text goes on here and it tells us not only are we to love the Lord with all our hearts and souls and minds, but we're to teach those things diligently to our children. Do you teach God's word to your children? Do you teach them the word of God? Do you teach them to memorize the scriptures? You know, I have come across Christian parents who are up in arms if the Sunday school teacher of their child gives them a few verses of scripture to learn, gives them a few verses of scripture to memorize. And they think it's too much. Let me say to you, if your child's Sunday school teacher does not give your child scriptures to learn, you should give them scriptures to learn. Because those are the things that are the foundation of their hearts. Do you teach them? Is there that time in your home when you sit down and teach them from the Word of God? We need a reestablishment in this day of the family altar. Unfortunately, it's become a rare thing. And in the midst of the claims upon time that we have in this day and generation, it seems as if those things can be pushed out. But we need homes in which God is worshipped, in which God is put first. And we need to teach our children to listen to the Word of God. Don't teach them that it's not something for them. Don't teach them that they should ignore what has been taught. Now, I know that there are children that are too young to listen to the Word of God, and children will be children, and you can't put old head on a young body, and we understand that. But there are many things that those children can learn. There are many things that they will take in. It will surprise you how much. And there have been parents who have come and rehearsed to me about little Johnny or little Mary and what they said they had learned from the preaching of the Word of God, and the parents were amazed. But we shouldn't be amazed, because they have ears to hear and they have minds to take in, and they will learn wonderful things. So teach them to listen to the Word of God. So we see the principle here of a well-ordered home. It is one in which God is at the center. But then notice the procedure of a well-ordered home. What do we learn here about Abraham and his home as we look at this portion of Scripture? Remember, this is a home that God is well pleased with. This is a home that God examines, and He's so well pleased with it, He says that He's going to let Abraham into the secrets of His will. Well, you notice some of the things about Abraham's home that are very obvious here. The first thing is that it is a home in which Abraham was in command and in which Abraham was obeyed. He had authority. He had respect in that home. And we read that Abraham commanded his children and his household Now that is the God's ordained order, that the father be the head of the household. And I believe that it is a mark of spirituality when a father is in charge of his home. It is a happy home where you have a father in charge. You think of the qualifications of an elder. And we read that it is one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. And the elder, the man who ought to have the greatest amount of spirituality, one of his qualifications is that he orders his home. He looks after his home. Now, I tell you, that's a difficult thing in this day of rebellion. We are bombarded by messages, which are messages that tell us to turn away from that on every hand. In the music, in the media of today, there are messages of rebellion. Even the little programs that the children watch on television, they are being taught that to rebel is cool, and to rise up against your parents and not to obey and go your own way is something that is right and something that is good. We have seen a race of rebels today, and we see it all around us. You think of the news during the week of the what happened in Ballinahinch and that leisure centre or that community centre that was burned, and they think it was vandals. Probably, we're speculating a little, but I think we're not far of the mark. Probably school children that were a bit bored during the time of holidays and decided that they would have a little bit of fun. But that's happening all around us. That is happening every night. They're doing things like that. We are raising a race of rebels, and we need to make sure that we are not raising a race of rebels, and make sure that your children are not one of or any of them. Don't allow your children to disobey you. Don't allow your children to kick and twist and get their own way. Stop them doing it. You know, if you don't, you're cutting a rod to beat your own back with. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24. And again, this is against the prevailing wisdom of today. It says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. You notice how strongly the Bible puts that. You say, but I wouldn't like to hurt the wee Johnny or wee Mary. I wouldn't like to do anything upon them that would in any way be something that they wouldn't like. But what does the Bible say? It says that if you don't do it, you're hitting them. You're spoiling them. And maybe a better word is that you may be damning them. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. And if you have children that show disrespect, and if you grow up, let them grow up to do that, then you are letting them be foolish. You think of David. David had a child that he let grow up like that. His name was Adonijah. And in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 6, we read of David's policy towards Adonijah and the way he brought him up. He said that his father, of Adonijah, and his father had not displeased him at any time, saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. Now it says that he was a goodly man. It means that he was well favored. But it says his father had not displeased him at any time, saying to him, why have you done it? He never corrected him. He never displeased him. And he grew up to be a spoiled brat. And what happened to Adonijah? He died a reprobate. He died indulging in sins of the most wicked type. And men and women, if your children do not obey you, they are well on the way to rebellion against God. If they will not obey their mother and their father, then they are well on their way to rebellion against God. Because if they will not obey you, how will they obey God who has given the order in the home that he has? But not only did Abraham here command his children, but he commanded his household. Now we read in the Bible that Abraham had 318 trained servants. He had a big household, but he also commanded them. And he made sure that anybody who came into his home was under the rule of his home. The rules of his home were set out. And anybody that came in there, there was no exception. They were those that were under his command and his rule. Now, we don't have servants today, but the principle that nobody should be accepted should be one that we adhere to. Doesn't matter who comes into our home, whether it be a visitor or someone else. We should not lower the standard in our homes for other people that come in. And we should have those standards that are godly standards, and do not be ashamed of the worship of God. Do not be ashamed of the godly discipline of your children. And the first characteristic then of a well-ordered home is one in which the head of the home is obeyed. But the second and perhaps the more important characteristic of a well-ordered home is one in which they shall keep the way of the Lord. This is a home in which God is honored. This is a home in which the way of the Lord directs. And the Lord needs to be first in our lives and in our home. And that will mean that we'll have to keep out the things that would direct us away from the way of the Lord. And as we said, there are powerful influences in this world in which we live, which are directing our families away from the things of God. You know, in the 1960s, there was a generation, the flower people and the hippie generation. And they were people that smoked pot, and they rebelled against their elders, and they were people who wanted to do their own thing and live life their own way. The problem with that is that the 1960s generation is the generation that is now running our government, and the generation that is now running our social services, and the generation that is now running our media industry. And their values are not biblical values. And even today, when you sit your children down in front of the television, you used to be fairly certain about the children's programs, but you need to watch them today, because they will teach rebellion. They will direct your children to rebel against their parents and rebel against everybody else. And we need to watch the influences that we're bringing our children onto. Our newspapers, our media. We think of the teenage magazines that are sold for 11 and 12 year olds, and you couldn't mention the things that are printed in some of those magazines. It is an age of rebellion, so we need to make sure if they're going to walk in the way of the Lord, that we keep them from those influences that direct them away from the way of the Lord. But notice the things that are specified about what Abraham did when they walked in the way of the Lord. It says that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. The word justice there is a word that means righteous. The family of Abraham was a family that lived righteously. They lived lives of purity. That's something that would be scorned and mocked in this day in which we live. But they lived righteously. The word justice there is a word which judgment is a word which just means justice. In other words, not only did they do right themselves, for themselves, but they did right for everybody else. They looked after other people. They made sure that everybody else that was round about them was treated right. And we think of how they were people who were a godly people, a people who were looked up to, a people that would have been people that you'd love to have as your neighbours. They were people that did justice and judgment. And these were people that the precepts of God were first. And you know, if we have that, what a blessing it will be. You know, we think of young Timothy in the Bible, and it says of him that he was brought up in a home like that. Now, in this home, there was no father. In this home, there was, it seems, because only the mother is mentioned. And it's the same, we were speaking about a father, but if it happens to be that there's a home in which there is no father, it's the same thing, only the mother has the responsibility. But we think of Timothy, he was brought up by his mother and his grandmother. But it says of Timothy, and Paul says of him, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, that which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, And I am persuaded that in thee also he kept to what he'd been taught. He'd been taught in these things by his mother. He had been brought up to these things by his mother. And that is how he lived his life. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. So we see then the principles of a well-ordered home. We see something of the procedure of a well-ordered home. But then would you notice the privilege of a well-ordered home? What will happen if we have homes like this? Well, the first thing that is said here, and we see from the text of Scripture, is that we have the confidence of God. God is willing to show us things that he normally wouldn't. That's what he did for Abram. He let him into the secret of what he was going to do with Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham was known as the friend of God. And a friend is somebody that you tell your secrets to. A friend is somebody that you bring into your confidence. You are willing to let them know what things you do and the way that you think that you wouldn't normally let other people know about. And here was a man who was let into the secrets of God. And later on, when the fire and brimstone fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and I'm sure Abraham and his family there in the plains of Mamre, they would have looked and they would have seen the fire and brimstone falling from heaven upon Sodom and Gomorrah, the other cities of the plain. And I'm sure they asked the family, what is happening? They were filled with fear, perhaps, at what was taking place. And Abraham was able to point them and say, you don't need to fear, because the Lord has us under his wings. And what is more, this is what God does to those that do not fear him. And it was an object lesson. And he was able to teach them. He knew the ways of God. And a family that is well ordered and taught in the things of God has an insight into the ways of the world that other people do not have. We're able to see the way the world is going. After all, the world is going as God predicts in his word. And we, by God, have been given an insight into what this world is doing and the way that it is going. And we know, even in the Bible, what is going to happen to the world in the end. And so we have an insight. That's a blessed thing. You to have a family that has an insight into what is happening in the world. That godly worldview that they ought to have. So, they had God's confidence. Another privilege that they had was God's care, because Abraham's family did not perish in the flames of his wrath that came upon Sodom and Gomorrah. They were free from the wrath of God that was poured out upon them. And men and women, when you think of that, doesn't that move your heart? That your family should be free from the wrath of God poured out. In the book of Jude, we learn that the fires that fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah were eternal flames. They were actually the flames of hell themselves. And the flames of hell did not come near Abraham and his family because they were under the care and they were under the protection of God. They were in God's care and keeping. We need families that are in the care and keeping of God. We need families. Men, women, if you were ever to think of your little ones, to think of your brethren, your sisters, going down to a Christless eternity, to suffer in those flames, does that not move you? Does that not tell you that you ought to have a well-ordered home? Does that not tell you that you should do what God says in his word? My, this family was saved from these fires that fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah. So they had God's care. A greater blessing was that they were under God's covenant. Look at verse 18. God says, seeing that Abram shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now that was part of Abram's covenant promise. The seed of Abram there is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the seed in which all the families of the earth will be blessed. And the seed of Abraham is still a blessing in this world in which we live. Now, of course, Abraham had a special and particular blessing. But thank God you can have a family that is under the blessing of God. A blessing that we should always treasure. A blessing here. It says that Abraham, to his generations, would be a family that would follow God. Now you think of your children, but also your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, that they should follow the Lord. Now your children might be saved, but maybe we haven't taught them the way that they ought to be taught, and they're a little bit weak. And so your children, your grandchildren grew up, and they're not just taught the ways of the Lord the way that your children were. And then those children maybe grew up and they're not saved. And then you have great-grandchildren and they're not saved at all, and they are rebels against God. See, if we teach our children and make them strong, they will teach their children and make them strong. And they will teach their children and they will make them strong. And we'll not only have children that follow the Lord, but grandchildren that follow the Lord, and great-grandchildren that follow the Lord. You see, that is why, men, women, we need well-ordered homes. We're not just thinking about just even our children. We're thinking about the generations to come. We're thinking, if the Lord tarries, about years in the future. So we need well-ordered homes. We need homes in which Christ is exalted. We need homes in which the Savior is right at the forefront. God said to Abram, "Shall I hide from Abram that thing that I do?" And God says, "I will show Abram, for I know him," he says, "that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord." As God looks at your family, is that what he says? Is that what God sees? Oh, may God give us homes that are firm in the Savior. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our Father, we do thank thee for thy precious word written upon our hearts now. And Lord, that we might have homes in which the Savior is exalted and glorified. Lord, speak on and bless us. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen.